Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the Nonprofit Architect. I'm your host, Travis Johnson, here today with James Snow, founder of Legacy Cast. If you can, please go to patreon.com/nonprofitarchitect. Give $5 a month. Won't break the bank, but help keep our podcast on the air. James, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Travis. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well over here in the Middle East. It finally dropped below 1,000,000 degrees. It's now only 500,000 degrees. A nice breeze coming off the Gulf kind of cools down just a little bit. I'm pretty excited for cooler weather.
Outstanding. Ooh.
So I know you are the founder of Legacy Cast, and I had the honor of being a guest on your show. Tell me a little bit about Legacy Cast.
Well, we're a podcast that talks to business owners. Effectively, you know, if you ask 100 different people what does legacy mean to them, you'll get 100 different answers. And so this podcast really just kind of digs into that and finds out, you know, what does legacy mean in your world? Ultimately, a legacy is people doing something today that's going to be able to impact multiple generations. And so it's looking deeper into, you know, what you're doing either as a business or a personal volunteer work, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, you know, looking at what people are doing and how they define legacy. What are they doing to make next generation better than the one that they found this time?
Man, that's a textbook answer right there coming out of the dictionary of James. It's so important that, especially dealing with what we deal with in the Nonprofit Architect, is it's our mission. Whatever your mission is, has pretty much the same goal, and that's to impact a group of people, whether it be a group of five people or a group of all the people. It is to improve the lives, the area, the impact, the quality of life for those in our charge. And I think that is a pretty big deal.
It is. If we look some generations back, you know, especially we Americans that we originally came, you know, we immigrated from somewhere else. And those societies, you know, legacy was really central to how things were. You would have families building upon the legacy that was left to them from the previous generation, and each successive would build upon that. And that's something that in the now instantaneous society that we have today, it's something that unfortunately we've gotten way away from. People are thinking about only what they can do today, living paycheck to paycheck. They're looking at more of an immediate return and not so much the long-term return, and not looking at, you know, I would like to leave a legacy for 3 to 7 generations. They're not thinking that way anymore. And that's something that really to me is very important. And, you know, from someone from the finance sector, that also in a business world is what I try to help people with, is make sure that, you know, they're not just thinking about today or what can I leave maybe just to pay off my bills when I die, unfortunately, but to look at something of, I'd like for my grandchildren to not have to work so hard as I did, or my great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and so on.
It's a great big mindset shift as to what's not only good for me today, but in the next 10 days, in the next 5 years, and 10 years, and what decisions and the things that I do today, how is that going to affect my family and my family down the road and my extended family and that huge reach, whether it's our legacy as individuals in a family sense, or if it's a greater responsibility through philanthropy, nonprofit world, or any of those things. I've had the privilege of being a part of a few projects, not least of which is Safari Point, building a memorial for Safari McDoolitt. It was a fantastic process. I love giving to the family. We built something special on Crystal Lake in Oklahoma City, and really, really happy to be part of it and show my kids, you know, what it is that we can do when we just give a little bit every month over time, and how that builds up into something special. So I think that's quite awesome what you're doing with Legacy Cast.
It's very important. You know, we're talking just at the moment about, you know, our very close legacy, you know, for our family, our children, great grandchildren, and so forth. What that also impacts is something that that my pastor has said. One of his sayings that he's coined is, "Blessed people will bless people." And that happens very much within the community, you know, from the very nuclear setting all the way outwards. So the further out you go, the more you have to work with, the more you can bless people with. And, you know, all of the things that we have ultimately are where we're stewards of those things. You know, we have them so that we can help other people with them. It's not for us to hoard this and, you know, keep it close to ourselves and just not share it, because, you know, that would be a waste. But, you know, we take those things and we bless other people. And so whether it be, you know, just through philanthropy or helping in the community, volunteerism, you know, all of those things, those all impact also your legacy, because you're helping other people through what you've been blessed with. And ultimately, I mean, that's the best use of your time and your resources, because those things are going to resonate into the next generations. Whether we see it or not, it's going to.
Oh, no, absolutely. And it doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus, karma, Buddha, or whatever it may be. When you give, it changes your relationship with things. It changes your relationship with people. It changes your relationship with money. And one of my other side gigs, Warrior's Wallet, you know, we talk about the three legs of finances: offense, which is making more money; defense, living within your means, budget; and then giving, the third leg of the stool. Mm-hmm. It really changes you from having a closed fist with money to having an open hand with money, understanding that money's going to come in and money's going is going to go out. And when you change that relationship that you have with money, you go from the scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset, and it ripples through everything that you do and all your interactions.
Absolutely. And you know, when you're mentioning, you know, the open hand versus the closed hand mindset, is, you know, I like looking at it as the infinity mindset, or the unlimited mindset, that, you know, the more people that you impact, the more people are going to come to you, you know, that brings back in what you require. And then in turn, you can impact more people. So it's just changing, you know, from the, you know, quote unquote, the sales aspect of life, you know, to more of the giving aspect. And then people will come to you when they need you. And you help enough people, you're going to be okay. So don't worry about, you know, making the ends, you know, and the means come together, because the means will produce themselves when you help enough people.
Oh, I'm definitely a firm believer that. I couldn't be in the industry that I'm currently a part of if I didn't believe that to be wholly true. Now, as I understand it, you're not just a podcaster, you have financial business, but you also volunteer through equine therapy. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, there's a local equine therapy ranch, Pause for Reflection Ranch, that helps veterans and special needs kids. And then, you know, they also do, you know, horseback rides, but the primary mission is helping veterans with, you know, with the PTSD and anxiety issues that, you know, that we end up with. And then also the special needs kids, you know, from, you know, anywhere in the autism spectrum to many of the other issues that befall children, you know, ADHD, et cetera. And so it's helping people through equine therapy. Yeah, which really is a unique approach, and I think a great one, because it puts people in an environment that they're not accustomed to. Mm-hmm. And allows them to bond one-on-one with an animal, you know, 1,200-1,500 pound beast that, you know, they themselves are prey animals. So they're very, very sensitive to our emotional and mental position. You know, if we're not in a good place today, then they're going to pick up on it. And, you know, we're going to have to center ourselves and correct ourselves in order to be able to get the most out of the situation. And, you know, they also have, you know, licensed therapists there on. And so, you know, the solicitors are to do all situations. Now, they even have critter cabins for the kids that are afraid of horses, but they want to mess with a chinchilla or, you know, hedgehog or something. They have those animals as well. So, I mean, there's many different aspects of what they offer. And, for about half a day, Mondays and Fridays, I'll volunteer there during the afternoons. And then I personally have my horse out there as well. So she has a job. She's earning her keep and then helping to bless the kids that want to hop on a spotted horse.
That's awesome. Where is Pause for Reflection Ranch?
Physically, it's located in the northern area of Midlothian, which is the southern part of DFW, northwestern corner of Ellis County. And then I can also shoot a link over to you, you know, after the podcast, so that, you know, if people want to, you know, to look them up, to donate to them, whatever. You know, it's an outstanding program. And they're also helping first responders as well. That's kind of a new program that's starting out, because, you know, firefighters, police officers, EMTs, you know, they're dealing with their stuff too. And, you know, that's something that's just, I guess, starting to get a little bit of focus, that local government and, you know, news media and so forth are talking about. But it's a need there too. You know, they're protecting us at home while our soldiers are protecting abroad. So we have to take care of all of us.
Absolutely. And it's funny, it's in Midlothian, Texas. I was, no kidding, there last fall. for my best friend's weddings. He's a fellow Navy veteran, and we were down there on the lake, and this nice venue is pretty wonderful. Had lunch in town before the wedding. It was a pretty good time. I never ran into anyone else that knew what Midlothian, Texas was, but I'm sure you don't hear too many people either.
Next time you land in Midlothian, you're going to have to look me up then, because you know, that's actually where I live here, you know, in the southern part of town. So trying to stay away from all the growth, but that's not going to work. Growth will happen.
That sounds good, and I'll definitely swing by when I get back to the States. The main reason I brought you on today is we were discussing business plans on your podcast, and I heard you talk to Adrian Phillips about business plans. When I think about people getting started in the nonprofit world, and they have this big heart and this big idea, but they don't necessarily know how to run a nonprofit, and they're not necessarily sure how to run a business. And I'm sure some of them do have those ideas. But what do you really get from a business plan? How important is it, and how do you start it?
I guess the 30,000 foot view is, you know, a business plan is effectively like your roadmap. It helps you to understand, you know, from where you're at today and then where you're headed, how to get to the destination you want to get to. You know, and I know that's kind of loose terms, but just generically speaking, you know, there's different aspects of the business, you know, whether it's the operations, whether it's the valuation of your business, whether it becomes, you know, a conversation of the succession of your business. You know, when you decide that, yeah, I'd like to retire or step away from the business, somebody's going to take over. How am I going to continue drawing a salary while I pay for my successor to draw theirs as well? So it's looking at all of those different facets. And then, you know, when I mentioned valuation, not just the business valuation, but, you know, you have the equipment that's involved in that, employees, you know, have intrinsic value. And so it's looking at those things. You know, if your top sales guy, you know, if something happens to him, God forbid he's in a car accident or worse, and is not able to work. Likewise, you know, you want to do the right thing, take care of his family. But then again, you have to be able to bring in somebody else to fill that position. And so you have to look at that human life value. And, you know, the ethical and moral questions of, you know, taking care of his family because he's been good to you. And so it's looking at all those things. And then what that means to the business. And then in turn, you know, what you need to do to prepare for the unforeseen. So it's not only the operational part, like when you speak with an attorney to draw up your business plan and have that crafted. There, a lot of people don't think that there's also the financial execution side of the business plan. And that's where your financial plan comes in, is looking at, you know, how do I execute all of these parts of the business plan, and what am I going to do to come up with the assets necessary to execute those? And then in particular, it's, you know, not reaching into your personal or business budget, but having other vehicles and tools in place so that those things can pay for those needs rather than having to reach into your profit margin as such to pay for it, you know, out of cold hard cash.
That is an excellent evaluation of what a business plan is. When I talk to those looking to start nonprofits, it seems you have a couple different things. You got to get the paperwork together. You've got to get a board together, bank account, some of those things, the startup money, the 501c3. But after that, you have all these different areas and all these different places you can go to searching for donations, donors, fundraisers, how to deal with all of that. And that itself is a whole, you know, volume of topics. Just dealing with fundraisers. But then how are you going to employ that money? You know, and depending on how well your fundraising is going, when do you begin to take a salary? How much of that money is coming in needs to really go to the nonprofit? And what does it really take to make sure that you're impacting and hitting your mission? And when you have someone that is new in the field or new in it, I mean, those are big, seemingly looming mountains. They don't know how to break it down step by step in a business plan to see how they're going to get from where they are to how they're going to accomplish their goals. What do you think is the best way to look at that situation for someone that's brand new?
You obviously need to, you know, sit down with an attorney. You know, it does cost some money, but it's one of those necessaries. You know, I don't recommend, you know, jumping on those free services on the internet, because, you know, when things get bad, the court system will tear holes in those free things. So, you know, do it right the first time. Yeah. I kind of encourage people, you know, go ahead and, you know, bite the bullet today and take care of the good, you know, getting a good quality one. But then when to the point that you're having about, you know, drawing in the assets and so forth, is looking at it, I like to use the analogy of the parable of the three servants and the 10 talents that's from scripture, is that, you know, when you receive something, you don't just take it and bury it. You know, you want to put that money to work so that when you're doing the things that you need to do, you know, you're working in a nonprofit space, yes, but you're also working in the community. And so you want to be able to grow that money. And so you really want to sit down with someone who can give you lots of options that are appropriate for your business to be able to try to make the most out of, you know, those assets that are coming in. So that then in turn, you know, you're giving your money a job, that money then in turn can do more things. So instead of just, you know, putting it in the savings account, let it sit there and it's only drawing, you know, 1% if you're lucky, then you're actually drawing a higher return so that money can do more. And then in turn, you know, when you obviously have to have all those things, you know, very documented, because, you know, government likes to see where everything is going. Having a good bookkeeper, you know, that's unfortunately not one of my blessings. It's not one of my gifts. But, you know, there's good bookkeepers out there. And, you know, having a good bookkeeper on staff, or at least, you know, at your fingertips, so that they can help you make sure that, you know, all of those things are checked off. Yeah, there's what I call the trifecta in business, and it's your business attorney that helps you draft the business plan, and you will want to revisit that. You also have your financial planner that helps you draft the financial plan, and again, you want to revisit that one. And then your good CPA and bookkeeper arm. Yeah, that's the trifecta in your business. You surround yourself with three really good sources in those areas, and you're going to be rock solid. You're going to be nearly bulletproof with your business, because you have three different sets of eyes looking at it. You have three different viewpoints looking at it, and they're going to help keep you straight, keep you on your focus. And then you're not having to worry about that stuff that really is not, you know, it's not what's going to be income generating for your nonprofit or business. And it's not income generating for you, because those aren't your gifts. And so you need to stay focused on operations and really just, you know, getting out there, being the face of your program. You know, if you have a face worth being a program, I'm not. You know, I would have to hire somebody, you know, to be my spokesperson, because, you know, people aren't going to give money to a bearded guy with a handlebar mustache. But likewise, you know, it's just, you know, make sure that you do, you know, staying in your lane, so to speak. And when you're mentioning, you know, when you're setting it up, set up the board, everybody knows their duties. You know, just everybody knows, you know, where your lane is, and you know where your blessings are, where your gifts are. Because if you start having people kind of, you know, operating willy-nilly, as I say, then, you know, things are going to fall apart pretty quick, because then you start getting egos in the way, you start getting, you know, attitudes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you and I both know we're men here. We have egos. You know, we like to get up on our heel and beat our chest. And so, you know, just make sure that, you know, everybody kind of knows, you know, where their value is.
Well, absolutely. And I think it's important that you say that you're on the same page and in the right lane. I know when my wife and I really got our personal finances together is when we were on the same page with a budget, and we were giving, and we were going in the same direction at the same pace. We weren't off by a little bit, because over time that little bit grows into a wide gap. We were in the same direction, same pace from the same point. And when you're dealing with your nonprofit board, and you have those assigned duties, and everyone is on the same page, and they're working together in the same direction, you're going to get a lot farther, a lot faster, a lot more efficiently. And you have the professionals, the attorney, the bookkeeper, the financial planner, that take care of all the behind-the-scenes numbers. My friend Stephen Kuhn likes to talk about honesty, integrity, transparency. Transparency is having the good numbers. Let them being upright and forthright and posting your 990s straight away on your website. Mm-hmm. No one should have to go look for your 990s. They should just be posted up and then go like, yep, we are being good stewards of money here, here, and here. When you speak to a donor and they're interested in your organization and they take the time to go look for your stuff, it should be on your navigation bar on your page that says where your tax information is. They click on it. They're all listed in order. And they should be beyond reproach, because if they're going to qualify someone that they're going to give $500, $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 or more, they're going to want to know that your organization is doing their due diligence, taking care of their money, being good stewards, and actually accomplishing your mission as you go forth. And I don't think there's anything more valuable than that level of transparency.
Yeah, and I like the part where you're mentioning, you know, how it works with your wife, because, you know, communication is king. Yeah, communication, both, you know, in the marriage, you don't communicate, it's going to fall apart. In a nonprofit or a for-profit business, if your staff doesn't communicate, it's going to fall apart. And if you don't communicate with your customer or your donor, you know, whether it's for profit or nonprofit, you know, then you know they're not going to want to do business with you because you haven't communicated well. So like you're saying with Stevens, his mantra with the honesty, integrity, transparency model, yeah, transparency is very valuable because when you're transparent, you're not hiding anything. And then people know that you're not hiding anything because you put it very much up front. You know, like you mentioned, putting your 1099s right up there on your navigation bar. I would say even make the thing flash and blink and put arrows that point to it. Yeah, make the thing so obvious that people, you know, they have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to not see it and then not be aware of it. Because, you know, those things, when you're just that transparent of, you know, here's my numbers, then they're going to know that you're not hiding the numbers. And then after that, it becomes, you know, mission focus and, you know, emotional focus because, you know, people do spin emotionally. And so, you know, at that point, they're going to align with your mission. They like who you are. They trust who you are. And people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And so, you know, at that point, you know, you've already taken out the biggest obstacle.
When I think of organizations that I've given to in the past, that I've partnered with in the past, and that I've coached in the past, I have to get to know them as a person. I have to understand what their mission is. I have to see where their passion is and where their passion lies, that big underlying why. And then I give them opportunities to be diligent and forthright and working towards their goal. And I see that they're taking the steps needed to do such things. That's a very in-depth part on my half. When you deal with donors and volunteers, one wrong sniff in the air and they're bolting. They're gone. They're not interested. Right. Your website takes too long to load. It does load. They can't find what you need. You have a Facebook post that really compels them to give, but you don't post the link to your stuff and they have to go searching for it. 20 seconds later, they don't find it. They're gone. You know, they might never come back. You might never get a hold of them again. So when you make those posts, when you do those things, when you are communicating with those that can help you, the people that you're looking for, whether it be their time, talent, or treasure, you have to make it easy for them. Put it right there up front. Main page, donate here on this button. Here's my tax forms here. Here's my contact information. On the page that loads, they should be able to see all of those things and know what you do without having to scroll. And that's with our phone. That's with our website. That's anything. You have to make it easy for the people that you're wanting to connect with.
Yeah, and I've found, you know, just through, you know, educational seminars and workshops that I've given, you know, that you have an attention span from the people that you're facing of about 7 minutes tops. You know, after 7 minutes, you've lost them. It's deer in the headlight look. You know, their eyes are glazed over. And the same thing exists when people are on your website. They're only going to look so long. And if they have to dig very much, then, you know, they're just on to the next thing. You know, they've lost interest. They may have even forgotten why they ended up there in the first place. You know, if it takes them too long to find it. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you know, have those things, you know, front and center, very top. You know, don't scroll. What people can see on one screen, that's the stuff that they're going to click on. If they have to scroll too much, then, you know, that's just background info. You know, the things that they need, you know, contact information, links, click here to pay, those kind of things. You know, have all that stuff, you know, top center.
If you could give one piece of advice to someone getting into the nonprofit world in any capacity, what would it be?
If you're not sure that you should be doing it, don't. You have to really be convicted that you want to be doing this thing. And make sure that, you know, your family is going to be okay while you're doing this thing. Because, you know, one is going to tear apart the other if it's not done correctly. And so, you know, if you know that there is absolutely no other way for you to move forwards in your life, in your mission, in your legacy without doing this, then you know you're in the right place. If you have questions about it, just like, you know, setting up a for-profit business, if you don't feel like, you know, I'm not going to be able to look at myself tomorrow in the mirror if I don't do this today, you know, that's the kind of conviction and motivation that you need to have to be able to start a business. If you're not there and you're not just hungry to really do this thing, then you know, maybe you need to just kind of sit, chew on it, and plan a little bit further. Look at your business plan. Look at all of the background numbers. You know, see if this is something that you're really, you know, that committed to do. The second question is, do I need to be the person running it? Because not everybody is, you know, some people are masterminds and then other people are the operational driving forces. And so, you know, that would be kind of the, I guess, part 1A or 1B there is, you know, are you really needing to be the person at the helm, or can you be the brains behind it and then have somebody else actually be the person driving the machine. Because, you know, if you're not the kind of person that just gets up hungry and you're ready to, you know, kick the door in and take what needs to be done, then, you know, maybe somebody else needs to be running the ship, you know, driving the bus, as it were.
Oh, absolutely. I had mentioned to a friend of mine a few years ago that I was interested in being in politics. I asked him, you know, what should I do? He's like, if this is something you're interested in, go volunteer for a campaign. Yep. Go in there, write letters, stuff envelopes, knock on doors, make phone calls. Go walk around with the candidate. Do the things, the behind the scenes, the work, the thankless things to see if you're still interested in doing what it takes to do something like that. If you're looking to get into a nonprofit, by all means, find someone doing similar. See if you can collaborate. See if you can work together. See if you can branch off. If nothing else, volunteer your time. Go knock on the door. Say, hey, I like what you're doing. I'm really interested. I'd love to get into the nonprofit world. What's your biggest pain right now? And how can I help make that pain easier on you? Oh, I really need, you know, to connect with donors. I need you to make these phone calls. Suck it up and call the donors. See what happens. Oh, I really need to get this event planned. Google how to plan an event. Take a shot. Put stuff together. See what happens. There's no chance that you can just know how to do this stuff. It doesn't come without some kind of coaching, some kind of mentorship, and actually taking that step and getting it done. If you're not getting yourself in the trenches, you don't really know what you're in for. Just like any other business, a nonprofit business is hard, hard work. There is days where you wake up, and even if your mission is as strong as James is saying, which we know that it is, there's days where you're just like, you know what? I am not really interested in beating this drum today. I am not really interested in talking to donors. I'm not really interested in any of the things that need to be done this day. And self-care and days off are just fine, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But when that next day happens, the day after that, are you going to get out of bed? Are you going to go attack? Are you going to do the things that you need to do to be successful? And if you go volunteer and sign up and said, hey, I want to help and see what it takes, you're not willing to do that, or you're really willing to do the work once you are at the helm.
Yeah, that's spot on. And when you're mentioning the volunteering part, so many of these nonprofits, right, if you ask the ones that are in charge of the nonprofit, yeah, I'd like to help in this area. I'm looking to myself start a nonprofit, but I want to be able to get some mentorship and guidance from you guys who have already done it and have already, you know, broken ground in your direction. And so I'd like to see some of the behind the scenes, whether it's, you know, in the fundraising areas or the operations, you know, some of the behind the scene thing, you know, boots on the ground operations. It's just, you know, ask to volunteer in those areas. Do a little bit of, you know, hopping around, you know, within those nonprofits. Do a little bit in this area, a little bit in that area. Learn the whole thing from the inside out. And that's going to give you a pretty good indication of what goes on. And then, you know, if it's something that you're truly not, you know, not ready to do, then you're going to know it by helping them, because you're going to discover, oh, I can't handle this. And you'll discover up front. But another thing of value is, you know, make sure that you're not reinventing the wheel. You know, that's one of the things I tell people, you know, whether it's, you know, nonprofit or for-profit business, is there another business right in your area that's doing exactly what you're going to be doing? And are you taking away bandwidth from them who are trying to create a legacy and help the community? Or are you actually plugging a hole? And that can sometimes tell you whether or not you need to do something. Is, you know, are you really just going to be pulling away resource from somebody else, and then you're weakening both of your chances, or are you adding something of value?
Oh, absolutely. To your earlier point, volunteering and seeing what it would take if you are really interested in what it is you plan on doing. There was a time I've always been interested in helping people. And in the Navy, they had a nursing program option. And I was kind of interested in that. And I knew a nurse, and I walked around with her for a few hours one day to kind of see the ins and outs and see what the day-to-day life would be like. I discovered a couple things for myself that I did not know about myself up front. Mm-hmm. First off is I really have a problem with strong odors, and bodily fluids have really strong odors. So the day-to-day interactions for a nurse, someone operating in that capacity, for me, I probably couldn't get past the first 2 days just based on smell alone. I'm not talking about stinky people. I'm just talking about just really strong, concentrated smells. And within 2 days, I knew without a doubt that that was not the job for me. without a doubt, not the job for me. I can't do it. Not interesting. Not my thing. And that's okay. It is perfectly okay to head down a path and have a door shut and get redirected. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Mm-hmm. That's how we figure out and fine tune where it is that we're supposed to be, where it is that we're supposed to go, who it is we're supposed to know and learn. And if you take James' advice and you go to an organization, you volunteer to help in whatever area it is, you're going to start building a relationship with the people in that organization and likely the founder, depending on the size of the organization. And that's going to become a contact and a bridge to anything you're looking to do in the future. If you have someone that you've gone and you've sweat for and bled for, they're much more likely to be on your team than if you just cold call someone and ask for advice.
True. And, you know, likewise, just from the volunteering that I've done, I've seen that, you know, when you have events going on and you do get reach that point where you've set up an organization that is starting to do some good things, when you need to reach out for other organization support, guess who's going to be right there rallying for you? You know, who's going to be in your cheerleader section is, you know, people that you volunteered with, they're going to help you. You know, it's all becomes reciprocal. You know, the good that you put out there, it starts returning. And so, you know, when you're volunteering and, you know, maybe you need, you know, some extra warm butts and seats for one of your events, you know, you reach out to that nonprofit. It's like, you know, you got some extra guys that might be able to volunteer with us. You know, we need some more manpower and, you know, they can help you fill the need and be able to make sure that your events and your fundraisings are successes. And then you can also cross-pollinate with each other. And, mm-hmm. you know, you start partnering up, you know, you can split proceeds so that you get their, you know, their following, you know, their client base, and then your own client base, you put together into even more people, mm-hmm. and you can make an even bigger success.
Absolutely. Partnering your way to the finish line is something I'm a huge champion of. There's only so many people that I know, but I know that James is a solid guy, and we've done work together in the past. And if I ask James, based on the work we've done together, he's like, hey, would you be willing to partner with me at this event? Would you be willing to, or you're not available, I understand. Would you be willing to share my event with your audience? Mm-hmm. Sometimes gaining someone else's audience is a bigger win than just the upfront help itself. It might not feel like it when you're the only one putting chairs out, but when they show up and the dollars show up in the bank account, you're able to accomplish your mission because you made that connection and you shared resources. All of a sudden, your mission gets easier, or you get one step closer, or that little victory leads to your next victory, leads to your next victory. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're off and running. You've got no problems.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say that the best kind of lead is a warm lead. And, yeah, the people that you know people, and those people know people. And so, you know, oftentimes, you know, you reach out to a person that has, you know, say, for example, a Facebook following of, you know, maybe a couple, 3,000 people, you know, they know people and, you know, they can put the word out, and that's a whole lot of eyes that are seeing something. And then those people put the word out. Before long, you have, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 people that know about the thing. And then, you know, at that point, you just start doing the math of, you know, what percentage actually creates rate of return. And then, you know, so if you say you need 3% of that 30,000, well, goodness, you know, that's a lot of people helping you out. And that's a lot of people visiting your event. And so, you know, just reaching out to people that know people is huge. And just using that network collateral that you have.
I heard from, I think it was JT Fox, and he may have borrowed this quote from someone else. He said, show me your network and I'll show you your net worth. And isn't it true that you might call me and have a question about something and I may have the answer, but what I do have, if I don't have the answer, is I likely know someone that's going to have that answer and be willing to help you out or connect you to someone else that might have it. But you see it all the time. Facebook's even updated their settings to provide recommendations like, hey, where is a plumber in this city? And what happens is people are might not be plumbers, but they definitely know someone mm-hmm. that they trust and they can pass that along to you. And isn't that right. So true in just about every area of life?
Absolutely. And, you know, certainly maximize, you know, the social media platforms, because, you know, you're mentioning Facebook, and there's, you know, there's thousands and thousands of Facebook groups out there. There's probably a group for just about every kind of community project or activity, or even just communities themselves. You know, the city I live in, we have probably four or five different groups of Midlothian Talk 2.0, you know, positively Midlothian, all kinds of stuff, you know, different groups, you know, that people have a certain mindset that they want to be part of. And, you know, be part of those things, you know, be part of the groups, because, then you have your local community that's part of these things. And then you can just really reach out to that local community, and people love to help people. You know, it's by nature, you know, people just love helping each other. And we like that feeling that it gives us when we're able to give to other people. So, you know, give people the opportunity to, you know, be part of those groups and be, you know, be vocal, you know, not too vocal. Don't be political when you're trying to get, you know, donations. But, you know, I guess that's where my problem falls in. But, you know, certainly, you know, give value to people, you know, and they're going to see that value. And then in turn, you know, when you ask for people to participate, they're going to.
James, you've been wonderful. What I want to know is, what's your vision for Legacy Cast? Where do you see that going in 5, 10 years down the road?
I guess really just, you know, kind of keeping the same mission that I'm at now. Yeah, you know, just obviously larger numbers is, you know, just being able to help people have a platform to talk about what they're doing that creates their legacy. Because, you know, we all know that technology is at a place where, you know, 100, 200, 300 years down the road, they're still going to have these recordings somewhere, and people are still going to be able to access them. And so just the fact that we're running podcasts, you and I, and the many other podcasts out there, is, yeah, we're creating, you know, information, you know, digital information that's going to be part of our legacy. And so just making sure that, you know, I can get in front of as many people to give them, like I say, the platform to talk about what they're doing to make the world better. Mm-hmm. You know, we're called to, you know, take the life that we have, live it abundantly, and, you know, and to leave the world better than we found it. And so, you know, ultimately that's what I hope that Legacy Cast does for people, is give them not only the opportunity to leave their legacy, but then for other people to be able to hear that and then tell that story to other people. And it'd be like, you know, the pebble in a pond, to where it creates ripples that extend far across where our vision can see.
That's a fantastic vision, James. Where can people find you online?
For Legacy Cast, you can find that at legacycast.jo.us, and that'll take over to my iHeartRadio channel, because that's probably the more universal for everybody. Whether you have iPhone or Android, you can get iHeartRadio. You can watch it on TV. You can listen to it in your car. So that gives you access to the Legacy Cast part. Website is www.jsnow.us. That will connect you both kind of to the back end to the Legacy Cast, as well as to the finance practice. You know, that way you can create your legacy. You can send emails to me at james@jsnow.us. I try to answer emails pretty promptly. On Facebook, I have both Legacy Cast group on Facebook, as well as James Advisors group. And James is spelled old English fashion, JAS.advisors.group. And that's on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, all the social medias. You can find that.
That's fantastic. And your recording cut out just a little bit right at the beginning when you talked about Legacy Cast the first time. Can you go through that again?
Mm-hmm. Oh, with legacycast.jsnow.us, that actually is a subdomain that plugs into my iHeartRadio channel. And since that's universal for, you know, all forms of phone and, you know, iPhone, Android, they both can pick up iHeartRadio. Many smart TVs nowadays have iHeartRadio on them. Many satellite channels have iHeartRadio. Your car probably gets it. So, you know, that way you can jump over there and listen to the different guests we've had on, including yourself, Travis. We'll have you up there pretty soon. So that way people can listen to the good information and get to know those around them and what they're doing in the community to make the world better.
That's awesome. I can't wait to have this published online. I'll let you know when it's out. Thanks again for being on today, James. And you can check us out at nonprofitarchitect.org or look at #nonprofitarchitect on any social media you use. Thanks again, James.
Excellent. Thank you, Travis. It's been a pleasure, my friend.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.